Time is 11:07 a.m. on November 20th, 2013. We will shortly begin the Joint Atlas II Capacity Building Workgroup and Regional Secretariats meeting for ICANN 48 in Buenos Aires.
Good morning, everyone. I want to start. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is the Joint ALAS 2 Capacity Building Working Group and Regional Secretaries meeting. Today we are here basically to talk about the ATLAS and talk about survey results and see how we can move forward in putting together, with the help of all the RALOS, in putting together a framework of how this is going to look like from beginning to the end, meaning Saturday, Sunday, and the rest of the week that we're going to have in London. There is another meeting at 1 p.m., which is going to be with the capacity building people, working group. And the idea between these two meetings is to be able to talk about this in putting together how this is going to look like. We don't want to talk about specific yet, because I believe Diane is going to talk about the result of the survey, but we don't have the analysis yet. Once we have that, we will try to plug in whatever analysis or whatever things people want to talk about in this framework of how this is going to be a schedule. Do you have any questions about this? No questions. Okay. So the first thing in the agenda, second thing is, Johnny, if you can update us on the results of the ALAS 2 survey. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Tijani speaking. Shall I speak French?
Of course.
Yes. Okay.
So we prepared this questionnaire, this survey, which will be useful to us so that we can plan the summit. We need data from the survey to decide on the subjects that will be discussed, to prepare the schedule for the week, and to decide on the zones where the ALSs need capacity building before they get to London. This survey was prepared because I think 15 or 20 people participated at the survey. 15 or 20% of the ALSs took part in the survey. And so we started analyzing it for the greater part. And some parts of the survey are not easy to figure out because they deal with open issues. So these open issues that they deal with are hard to enter into a chart. It's a really hard job that we're going to have to do. But for the time being, we have everything we need to do it, and we haven't yet done it. So what I would like to ask Eduardo, given that he deals with the timeline, is that we take this timeline now and decide here today clearly who's going to do what and when. Because we're going to have hard times, because we do not have much time, particularly because we're going to organize capacity building for ALSs, which takes time precisely. So given that all the RALOS are here today, I would like to try and see with the RALOS how we're going to manage to conduct these capacity building sessions. What are the tools that we're going to use? And of course, given that we have Sandra here as well, I asked Sandra to be here for this. So we're going to call on the Icon Academy to do this job, because the Capacity Building Working Group has defined the needs. But perhaps we could also define the tools that are necessary for that job. And ultimately, it's going to be up to the Academy to conduct this job. So given that we have Sandra here, she's going to help us do this. I think the hardest thing that we have to do right now is to divide the work that we have at hand and to start right away because we have no more time.
Thank you, Tijani. Wolf, do you want to say something?
Well, if you, Wolf Ludwig for the records. If you allow me, Tijani, to disagree on your last point, I do not see really as a link to the academy. I have understood that there may be certain needs for capacity building measures prior to Atlas II, because there may be some new incoming ALSs who have no experience, who do not know the context properly, etc. And I agree that there might be some cases who need this type of assistance, who need this type of preparation. For, again, for the European ALSs, most of our members are old hands, and the last incoming new members are somehow, as I could realize during our last General Assembly, they are somehow in the discussion. So I wouldn't see on the regional European level any need or necessity for capacity building programs, but depending on the regional context, there may be a need, and I think then it should be done. This must be a complementary step of the planning process, and I think, as I've mentioned yesterday, I see the whole Atlas preparation as an inclusive process with different parts, with different steps, etc., different needs, and we have to try our best to prepare our members on by different measures for the summit, that they won't arrive at the summit as consumers, but they should have an active role to play during the summit.
Tijani?
So you don't disagree with me? That's exactly what I said.
I guess this is Eduardo for the record. I guess that he's saying the same thing in a different way. maybe on the way of doing it. In talking to Tijani yesterday, this capacity building, you know, one of the things that I have in my mind is, you know, once we know what type of capacity building we want to give, is one of the things that come to my mind is how, you know, if this is happening in June, how many weeks before June you want to do something like this? Because if you do it earlier, you know, like say mid-March or something like that, by the time we get to June, people will forget what it is, you know, what it is all about. So maybe we need to think about, start thinking about doing some kind of webinar, which is what we talk about, to bring people up to date, very close to the meeting. If you have other ideas, let me know. Anyhow, this, I was also thinking about, you know, webinars are very good to bring people up to date in on the ICANN ecosystem. But I think we need to think about identifying within us the experienced people that can mentor some of these, most of these ALSs, because there is nothing like a face-to-face talk. The webinars are good to give you a general idea of where you're getting into, but the face-to-face is the best thing. And especially if, since we're thinking about Saturday and Sunday having, you know, the real summit, which is going to happen the whole week, but the real our work, all we're going to be together Saturday and Sunday. And it's expected that the LSS will mingle through the rest of the week and we will have other activities, that these mentors will help. The ALSs are interested, I don't know, in GNSA work, and to be able to go to this a meeting like this, and there will be somebody there that will explain what's going on in the meeting so they can understand the conversation. Because sometimes I hear people that go to the meeting and they don't know what's happening. Anyhow, do you have any questions about this? No. So, do you have anything to say more about the survey results? Can you bring us more details in terms of... No? Okay. So, what we need to think about is what things we need to do from here on with respect to putting this stuff together. So any ideas of the things that you think we need to put anything together, please let me know, Tijani.
Thank you, Eduardo. We have to make use of the presence of the RALOs here, which is very important. Why we decided to do this joint meeting with the Secretary is exactly for that, because without them, we will not be able to organize the summit. We need them for everything, and especially for how to reach the ALSs, what is the best way to communicate information and knowledge for them. We are committed to do so, but how? What is the best way? What are the tools we have to use? This is the first point. Second point also, we need their input regarding the overall organizing of the summit, the overall planning of the summit. So we have to give the floor to the RALOs, so that they tell us how they see we can do the capacity building.
Thank you, Tijani. This is Eduardo. I have a question for you, Tijani. When you say regarding, their inputs regarding the planning, are you talking about the whole planning process, or are we talking about just the planning of the actual events that are going to happen within the week?
No, I am speaking about the overall view.
Okay, so shall we start with Narralo, see which would be the best way of communicating with and tools to communicate with the RALOs? I mean, I'm thinking about mails here, but please. Yeah. Oh, you're not talking. Okay. Well, if any other RALO that wants to talk, give ideas on how's the best way of communicating with your ALSs, Silvia, please.
Silvia Herlin-Leite speaking. I think I can speak on behalf of all the RALOs because of the secretary meetings we are conducting. I think we are working in the same way as we have done now, trying to communicate in the monthly teleconferences so as to foster people and to start passing knowledge regarding the importance of ALS too. Of course, this is done over the mailing list, and we also insist to the fact of getting this such a high level of answer to the survey, that in the case of LACRALO, I try to communicate individually with each one of the ALSs, whether it is by email or over the phone. So I think we need to go on working in that respect. As Wolf said, for those that are old people or those that who participate very much or that know the requirements that we will need, this would help them transmit this information for a fruitful summit. So we will need to work face-to-face, one-on-one, to achieve results.
Please.
Cyrano Shvardanyan, for the record. I would agree with Silvia that, yes, email is still remains the main communication tool. As for AP RALO, we are really very diverse and very far from each other, so email is the only tool actually I used till now. Even when there was necessity even to call, there was no possibility to do that, to reach those ALSs in person. But in some cases, for example, for those who didn't submit their survey vote, how we deal with that issue, we try to find those people who are in the board. For example, if there is an ALS ELS, and we know the board member is one of active members of this group, we send an email to that person asking to personally reach that ELS or to find out if those people are still there or maybe the contact is changed. So besides those emails, we tried also to reach on personal level those who are based in the same community. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Eduardo again. Silvia, please.
Perdón, me gustaría...
Silvia Herland later speaking. I would like to ask you a question regarding what to do with the ALSs with whom we could not obtain a communication. My question is, what do we do with the ALSs that participated in the year 2009 on the first Atlas, and as from there, and I'm speaking about Lacrallo specifically, and since 2009, they have never come into contact. They have never responded an email. However, they have responded the survey with the intention of going to London. 4 years have gone by. We have never heard anything from them in 4 years, but they have effectively responded the survey. This is a problem we need to address.
Picard.
Thank you. This is Garth Bruin, Chair of Naralo. I think we can remedy some of those situations and just as a general strategy to include all of the ALSs is to give them all something to do, give them something concrete to do in preparation for the summit and let them prove themselves. So, I mean, there are many, many reasons why somebody may not have been in contact. In Naralo, we have people who come to the monthly calls every month consistently. But they're not necessarily active participants, and we want to find ways to reach out to them. And two things that we can do is ask them what in their capacity, in their ALS, do they want to see done? What kind of projects do they want to put forward? What kind of topics do they want to talk about? And two, give them something specific to do, a task to do for the summit. And this can feed right into metrics as well.
Thank you, Art. Darlene.
I would have to agree with that because when we were getting the crop working team, RC, together, I found someone that was going, yeah, I wanted to do something more in the way of ICANN, but I really didn't know where I fit, you know, what I could do. So sometimes these people, you just need to get to know them and find out where is their area of expertise and where they might be a fit and to maybe put them into a working, or suggest that they go into a working group, you know, and then that might get their participation up a bit.
Well, this is the way I see this is that, you know, the fact that you have people that have been there for 4 years and you don't hear about them, and suddenly you hear by them, let's say, because you might think, you know, that they wanted to go to London or have a free trip. At least you got in contact with this person, and even if when they go to London, they don't go there on vacation. They're going to be with us, learning about ICANN. So if we look at it from that perspective, I think it's a positive thing that, you know, this ALS came forward and said, I want to be there with you. Thank you. Jose? Go ahead.
Jose Arce speaking, for the records. Thank you, Eduardo. I think the experience of Lacrallo in Costa Rica was absolutely different. We gave the opportunity, as we are seeking to do now, we are giving the opportunity to the ALSs, and I'm speaking about my region. But most of them responded the survey. Some others went there on tourism. Nobody says that they shouldn't do that, but not during the times the meetings are being developed. In our region, we think that we should do what Garth is saying, that is to test what is happening. This is the experience of our region recently in Costa Rica.
Tiranush Vardanyan, for the record. I clearly agree with the point that we need to encourage them for participation, and APROLO has started a new, quite well-working initiative, ALS Spotlight, the name is. And we are asking each and every ALS during every monthly call to volunteer to present their ALS, to provide to all others the information what this ALS is doing, how the experience can be shared among other ALSs. So, and we started this initiative actually after prior to Beijing, and we are doing quite well because a lot of people started to volunteer on their own just to, they expressed interest to talk about themselves. And when you showing them that they are really important and their voice or their information is important for us, they feel appreciated. So that's. I hope that we are continuing this Spotlight initiative, and it's a good practice till now.
Thank you. Garth.
Yeah. Garth Bruin, Chernarello. It's my understanding that staff was doing something to actually formalize this this showcase that we started in the Raylos. Has there been any movement on that?
Yeah, this is Silvia Ivanko for the record. Regarding the showcases, you mean?
Yes. In Beijing, it was actually Fadi's idea. Mm-hmm. He wanted to actually do this from the top down. I don't know if there's been any follow-up on that.
What we have been doing is in every ICANN meeting, we have a showcase. Each RALO is the initiative of the RALO to have a showcase showing what they do, and you know, with a folkloric event as well. And regarding the spotlight, we have Naralo and we have APRALO doing a spotlight, which is a in-reach exercise. So every monthly call, one LS presents their activities. So that's so far what we have been doing within at large, but it's not a top-down exercise. It's something that it was born out of this community.
Right. I have to go back and see what Fadi actually said, because I think he wanted to formalize it. I don't know if anything ever came of that. Okay.
This is Eduardo Glenn. I wanted to say that the initiative that you're taking, I think we did that. We're doing it in Naralo also. I encourage all the Ralos to do the same, because it encouraged people to talk about their ALSs, and to hear other people, you know, talking about their ALSs. Well, it's good, and you know, it's something that I'm not sure about. You know how you take it from top down, but the RALO should do it. You know. Yeah. Anyhow, Glenn.
Glenn for the transcript. It was Garth's idea actually that suggested the spotlight idea initially over a year ago, and it's a great idea. But I'd like to go back to, I'm getting a lot of feedback. I'd like to go back to Garth's idea of assigning duties. That's a difficult one. I think we need to think it through in terms of what duties to assign people. It's onerous task, and I think one has to think it through, because we don't want to scare people away. We have had lots of examples of people coming to these meetings, and they can opt out. There's nobody putting a gun to them to force them to attend the meeting. So we have to be conscious of persuading people to attend these things without a huge amount of responsibility. But on the other hand, how we can coax them to participate is a bit of a challenge.
Tijani, please.
Thank you, Eduardo. Tijani speaking. All you said now is very important, but the question was other. I asked how we can give them capacity building about the issues that will be discussed during the summit, because we don't want the ALSs to come to the summit only to watch and to listen. We want them to contribute. So I am thinking about using the online platform. This is one of the ways we will use, but I think we need more. It will be used, the online platform, but I think we need more. And I am asking you what kind of tool, what kind of learning we can give them.
Tijani, to clarify, when you say tool learning, you're talking about the actual material that they're going to use, or just a way of getting
the way?
Okay. Well, it was already mentioned about the email to use as a major communication tool. We talked about having webinars. Is that the type of thing that we're talking about?
There will be a program established for the capacity building. How do you want it to be implemented? This is the question.
And again, for clarification, this is Eduardo. When you say how, you mean if it's a webinar, or if it's a mentoring system, or something like that. So
if it is webinar, if it is
mentoring,
virtual, an online courses, or use only the online platform. Those are all the tools that we can.
Okay.
Cyrano Shvardanyan, for the record. Based on what we have seen in the survey analysis, so based on what people wanted to have prior to the Atlas survey and during the survey, during the summit itself, so we can really rely on those answers and to find out the tools through which we can implement. For example, they were asking for advanced information provided to them prior to the summit. So we can prepare the documentation, post it on Wiki, send via email, announced via mailing lists, our regional mailing lists, on ICANN website it can be posted. I mean, to share as much as possible for them to find that information. But if those people, after all those announcements, will not read that information, we can't do anything with that. And the same with the participation of them during the summit itself. So we can provide them as much as we can within the capacity which we can, according to what they have said in their survey results. But we can do more than that.
Thank you, Jose.
Okay, Jose Arce.
This is Jose Arce speaking. I know it.
Participate, but I want to highlight a situation that Lacrallo live in Costa Rica, and I don't want to see other regions to replicate this situation. And was very sad because few people of our community change to another organization just to travel to Costa Rica. So this is important. So please be sure that all the people who are going to travel don't do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Sandra.
Thank you, Eduardo. Sandra Hofrichter, for the record. I agree with what has been said, and I'd like to add something. I think the online learning platform plus webinar plus other online tools is the only thing to the only way to prepare a community. I don't think there is any way to waste, and when I say waste, I don't mean that should be a waste of time, but I think we still don't have the time there to do anything in terms of capacity building face to face. I think that's purely impossible. We should use that time for community networking, interaction, and so on and so forth. What we can actually do also in terms of preventing what Jose just pointed out, preventing that the wrong people are just taking advantage of getting travel and so on. We might put in a sort of a system, and the online learning platform is going to be developed in that way, that people have to fulfill this online course before they are allowed to apply for travel support. I mean, it's not that they are getting credits or something like that, but at least they should prove that they have went through this online tool where they get some basic understanding. And we actually, all the five regions, the chairs, the secretariat, chairs from capacity working groups and so on and so forth, we should actually take care on the content which is going to feed in or which is going to be provided in this course material. We will be able to either use material which is already in that London platform, but we can also set up our own course. We have to decide and we have to look into detail what might be the better option or if it could be a combination about this. But I think asking them to fulfill that course before they get funded, I think that's just fair, and this will give them also some sort of preparation to enter the discussion directly once they arrived in London. I'm asking if this sounds like a feasible option for others in the rooms as well.
Thank you, Sandra. I just want to comment on that. We required all the ALSs that wanted to participate in the summit to fill out the survey as a requirement. If we do this, by mid-February, we have to tell constituency travel who's going to go and who is not going to go. That means that between now and before that, we probably, doing something like this will be very hard to put together, and having people filling out or going through this course. I mean, imagine we to get the 92% response in the service, it took us a lot of work and a lot of sending mails and just for that part. It's a great idea, but I don't think, the way I see this, I don't think we have time to do something like that as another extra step. But yes, we should take in consideration what's been said. Sorry, have you? Yes.
Ali Al Mishal, Bahrain ALS. I think it's not the time now to look into whether we get these ALS who responses to the survey, yes or no. But they already, as we have commented in the survey, that once you respond to that, you'll be eligible to attend the summit. So the point is, as Tijani mentioned now, is the capacity building. And this is, I totally agree that we have to focus on. We want the ALSs to come as at least a basic initial idea about what we want them to do and how to contribute in the summit. So I would say the webinar will be a fantastic tool, because we are looking at the people who are not yet too much engaged with the ICANN community. So webinar will be a good, and then following that with the online platform. But I don't want to put this as a conditional, any of these as a conditional to their attendance to the summit, because we already passed that stage. Thank you.
Thank you. Gart, I will let you go now. The other thing that we can do and we can put together is a toolkit that we can send beforehand. It's something that they can look at it and browse at it and read it. That's another tool that we can use, and it's something that is very easy to put together. I don't think that the material is there. Sorry, Garth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Garth Giannarallo. This could be an opportunity to test the ICANN Academy with some of the newer ALSs or ALSs who don't usually attend meetings to see how they use it and respond. It might be useful feedback for you. So,
I have a clarification. When you say test the ICANN Academy, is going through the ICANN Academy as part of the events?
Not as a requirement, because we've already established that it's too late to do that, but I still think it would be a useful opportunity for these people to be invited to use it.
Sandra.
Just to respond to that, I take your point and I agree that it might be too late. What we still can do is ICANN 101 is on. this program is going to be the one which is developed first by ICANN staff. Even the customized program for the leadership training program, which was, and we have to be very clear on that, which was under the umbrella of the ICANN Academy. ICANN Academy is not leadership training program. ICANN Academy is newcomers program and all the things together. But what we can do actually is offer them, and this can be done immediately, ICANN 101 thing. It would at least provide those who are not actively engaged a basic ground of understanding, and those who are actively engaged, they will find their way and maybe go to a CCNSO track on the OLP, which is already further advanced. I mean, it's an open tool, everybody can use it, but we have proposed some tools there. Okay, this is for an entry level, and this is maybe for a specific advanced level, then they might be able to prepare themselves as an offer only then, if it's too late to get them to do this.
Thank you, Sandra. So, you know, you want to say something else, Yanni, please?
Yes, to make it easier, I will tell you what I understood from this discussion. So to make the capacity building, we will use the online platform, and I will see with the people here of the online platform if we can customize the 101 to be relevant with our need. The second point, we can use webinars. And the last thing, send emails. Means if we have toolkits, as you said, we can send it to the ALSs. Is this the idea?
I believe so. That's what I was going to wrap up. You know, the things that we have been talking about. We're talking about engaging RALOS with via emails, webinars, toolkits, some kind of online presence, and through the 101 Academy, which I think that's an online thing, right? Yeah. Anyhow, Olivier.
Thank you, Eduardo. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc for the transcript. So we've spoken about the online learning platform and the feedback, informal feedback, I must say, because unfortunately I missed the meeting that looked at the formal feedback. But the informal feedback I've received regarding the current state of the online learning platform is that it's not up to the mark. There needs to be a lot of work done on it, both on the quality of the content, but also the way that it brings the content forward. It reads more like a book. It's not a book. It's not a presentation. It's an interactive platform. It should be an interactive platform. There are ways to engage people. Now, if the current, I guess, the current beta testers of the online learning platform who were leaders about to take on positions, so who were therefore very motivated to use it, gave such negative feedback of the state that it is today, I'm really concerned that ALSs that don't have a stake in the game, that will just come and try to learn and be, I guess, at a more basic level than the leaders that are trying to that are going to take positions. I'm really concerned that they turn off very quickly, and we need to really push on two levels. One, content, and produce our own content as well. I don't think we should expect others to produce the content. And two, put pressure on whatever content is already there to be brought up to the mark by ICANN staff.
Thank you, Olivier. I believe there is a remote participant question.
Hello, this is Matt Ascioni for the record. We have a remote participation question from Badwan Shambe. Badwan says, why not conduct an expert study that would allow us to understand the whole issue that we are facing?
I guess I'm confused as to, it's a working group and study what issue? The issue that ALSs are not getting engaged? Sandra.
I just wanted to respond to Olivier. You're right, there is indeed a great amount of criticism in the room, but everybody agreed that this is actually going to be a very useful tool. And I think there's at least one module, which is the ICANN 101, which is most advanced. I heard there are other modules from the CCNSO as well. And in the afternoon today, the official launch of the online learning platform will be done during the session. I think it starts at 4 o'clock. And I think we can bring that to their attention, and I think there is still time enough to at least develop some of the modules in a way that they will be really useful for our community to participate in the summit. And they have time until the summit starts to prepare on their own if we don't demand their preparation before arranging travel. So they have time, like 6 months, to work on the content. And I mean, that's what their duty is, to improve and to work on the content. And I think we can implement this tool into our outreach to our ALSs. And as far as I know, De La Crallo has a pretty good advanced capacity building program already. Maybe this can be implemented in that online learning tool already, also giving other constituencies and other stakeholder groups an idea how it could look like. I think even if I don't read Spanish, but I might be able to go through the roadmap or something like this, or I think this could be an idea if you are taking up the lead to put your little program for your region on that global ICANN platform. Thank you.
Diane, do you want to respond to that or?
No.
Or some, Olivier.
I don't know if you already went through the online platform 101, but I did at the from the beginning till the end. It is a very good tool. I understand the criticism. It was done by the leadership. I understand it because they want something professional. It is just they just put the material, the existing material in this 101. It is not elaborated as a course, but it is very informative and it is very well put there. If you want something, you can go and find everything. Everything is there. There was some small problems. I sent an email to explain that those have to be corrected, and I think they did. They said they did. Some said that it is not done. I didn't verify, but I think that is a very good tool that we can use. It is not perfect at all, but what we can do in few months. How we can build the new material in few months? We have to be realistic. Who will do that? This is the problem. I promised that I will get in touch with the people of the online platform to try to customize the content of the 101 to be relevant with our need, according to the survey. I hope they will do. Even if they don't do, the overall, 101 can be used, but it is not perfect, but it can be used, I think.
Thank you, Diani. We're close to the top of the hour here, and I think we need to look at the this capacity building and how to get people prepared for the meeting. And I just want to have a sense of the amount of work and time that we need to put this together. For example, the webinar. How far in advance would you have this? A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? If I take the example of ICANN, there's a webinar that goes the week before that brings you up as the type of discussions are going to happen during the ICANN. So to me, if we use the same model, we can have this webinar or set of webinars for all the ALSs like the week before going or the 2 weeks before. Now, to get to the point of providing this webinar, there is a work that needs to be performed. And I just want to have a sense, because we are here all to help with this. I would like to have a sense of how long it will take, or you think it will take, to put a webinar together based on the results of the survey and the things that we need to show in this webinar. Can somebody answer that or give me ideas? I like it like that, because I will say that, you know, like 3 months will be enough to do this, but it might not. So, you know, if we're saying that we're going to have a webinar put together in June, it will take it should be worked out 3 months before that, which I think is doable, because by that time we will know exactly what the results of the surveys will be, and we will be able to put something together. Tijani.
You're right, Eduardo. Tijani speaking. I think that by Singapore, we have to have all our programs set up, and we have to start there the first activity of capacity building.
Okay, and I will say before Singapore, we should have some kind of program put together that we can start talking about even before Singapore. In fact, the timeline that we put together and was approved is to have something by the end of this year that we can start looking at it and then develop it. And maybe in Singapore, we can look at it more detail face to face and you know, get it going. Yes. So, we have been talking about all these tools, and basically the email is the communication tool. I was thinking, and I'm not sure, and this is an idea for the table, that I don't know if it would be appropriate to have a specific email list just for the ALSs that answered the survey. I don't know, Heidi, if you can help me this here, or because we have a mailing list for all the ALSs in our region, right? But nobody, I don't know if it would be appropriate to have one just for the summit for all the ALSs or an summit related work. I would just want to hear some ideas. I'm sorry.
With the email of the person who submitted the survey.
Exactly. Probably people that are going to attend.
Not all contacts, yeah. Right. Probably the person who is going to attend.
Yes, exactly. Garth?
Garth Bruin. I don't think it hurts. We do have people in the region who can't travel for different reasons, so they may not have been aggressive in responding. They still may want to participate. But that's just something, I don't want to exclude people who are actually interested in the topic but couldn't travel for some reason.
Well, the reason for this idea, or be specific, it will be summit-related. People that are going to go, that doesn't mean that anybody else can hear what's been done. You know, you're free to, I mean, this is not a closed list. It's just that if we're going to talk about specific things about the summit, and you know, I'm interested in the Nahralo as a whole. Why do I want to know that something is going to happen X and X day, and that I will be there? But I just want to hear more ideas about that. I like it when there are no ideas. Darlene.
I do agree with Garth, but also you don't want to be flooding people's email boxes with information on the summit when they've already elected not to go by not, you know, filling out the survey. So I think it would be a good idea to have a list that's just for the summit and those who chose to elect to be on it. You know, if they want to be on it, great.
All right.
Rafatani for the transcript.
Sorry.
I fully agree with the previous comment.
So what you're saying is that we should have a list like this and ask people to join it? Or we can start with the whole group and whoever, just unsubscribe if you don't like it.
Maybe start with
I'm talking about the survey group. That's
and then ask people if there are other people that want to join.
Okay. Okay, so let me see if I understood that. So the people that, the emails that we have from the survey group, we use that to create this list. And then we ask anybody else that wants to join to join. Okay, got it. So, Tijani.
the people who took the survey are all considered. People who didn't take the survey, I don't think it is useful to put them on this list, on the list of the summit. If they don't take the survey, that means that the ALS is not there anymore. That means that they are not interested in ICANN at all. But people who took the survey, normally, even if they are not coming, they are sending other one, it's not a problem.
Tijani, I think what we're saying is that that we're going to have in this list only the people, you know, to start the list, only the people that answered the survey. But what Gary is saying is that whoever else wants to be part of this list, just to ask to be put in the list. Okay? So we have an action item here for staff to come to create another email list for the summit, for the people that answered, the group of the people that answered the survey with their emails. And the purpose of this list is to communicate within each other with things related to the summit. So if there is something related to the GNSO that doesn't have to do anything with the summit, you do it in the regular list or something like that. Is that, are we in accord with this? Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
So now, did we, Ali El-Mashal, Bahrain, did we agree now at least on a tentative date that we will notify the ALSs about the webinar or the capacity building?
Yeah, we need to put a timeline in place. And the reason I started talking about the webinars is, you know, if we're going to have it 1 week before the event, then we will have like 3 months before the event to develop the webinar with the information. I don't know if 3 months will be enough or not or less, but I didn't hear anything. So I'm you know, I always use this three is the perfect number. So it's 3 months before that, I think we have enough people here with experience that you know, we'll be able to put a webinar together. I don't think it will require lots of work because the information is there. It's just getting that information adjusted to what the results of the service gave us. Did I answer your question, more or less?
But more looking to dates that we communicated back to the ALSs, so they are even prepared for the webinars. And the ALSs people, I mean, whoever will be attending this summit will know his schedule, at least.
Okay. So I have a question for staff that is going to help us putting together this toolkit. How long will it take to put this thing together, you know, whatever it is what we're going to do?
Okay, thank you, Eduardo. This is Heidi Ulrich for the record. Well, it depends on what materials you would like to have in that toolkit. So if we're talking about existing materials, for example, the beginner's guides, I believe there are 6 or 7 now, but it really entirely depends on what contents you would like in there. And then I would expect that maybe after the Singapore meeting, we could start shipping them. Are you talking about sending hard copies?
Okay. Well, we can send hard copies. We can send them via mail.
Either that or we send them everything on a USB drive. It's up to you. It's up to this group to decide.
Okay. Any questions or ideas about that? Any comments? What about this? It was mentioned here an online presence with a website where people can go and see what's going to happen in the summit or materials and all these things. Is that something that staff can also help with that, putting that stuff together? We just need to help as a group decide what kind of materials we're going to have in there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Heidi.
So, Eduardo, thank you. This is Heidi for the record. We have Duncan Burns in the back of the room, who is the head of, he's the VP for communications, and perhaps he might have a few comments on what kind of materials you may wish to have or that ICANN can provide.
Okay. So, we need to put a timeline together. I want to think about something. I want to propose something. I will talk to Tijani. So this afternoon we can talk more about, you know, now that we're here, how we're going to get there, and just try to agree into something that we can actually work towards. And there's another meeting like this in Singapore where we have another chance to talk about face-to-face, and there we have to really finalize most of what we need to do so we are ready for the next one. We'll be in London in June. So I think, according to our agenda, we can turn into the public relations. We can talk about public relations. Sally.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, I'm doing millions of things at the same time. I've just been thrown into this. So I'm part of the public relations subgroup that has been created in London by Sally Costerton. Some of you, or in fact all of you, might know by now that ICANN's meeting in London will be the 50th ICANN meeting. So the summit is not the only big thing that's going to happen there. There are a number of other activities that ICANN is planning on putting together. And so Sally Costerton put together a group of all the people that were based in the UK or at least based in London to be able to prepare a program and coordinate all of the events together and perhaps even find some synergy between the different events and the different things that are taking place. This gives us the ability to do more than just a normal showcase, to do more than just a normal set of activities with our with the people, with the ALSs that will come. And this is why we've got our public relations working group as well in the Atlas preparation groups. And I gather that this preparation group will work a lot with global stakeholder engagement because there, on the one hand, there is some synergy that can be done, some coordination that can be done between the two groups. On the other, we might be able to save part of the funding and be able to make use of what's already there, what is already being prepared for other parts of ICANN and for the wider ICANN mission. And we might even, I think we actually not might, we need to also bring in our input into the wider ICANN processes of all of the things that are going to take place in London. It's good to have our summit, but if we can have our summit well interfaced with everything else that's going on in ICANN, that would be doubly good. I don't know if you can say that, but at this point of the week, I think you probably can. So that's why Duncan is here, to be able to maybe share a little bit of what's going to take place. He's been on all the meetings in London so far. There's the next meeting's in December. I guess I'm probably sort of saying too much, and I thought maybe we can pass the floor over to Duncan to give us a bit more of a more overall view of how everything will fit together.
Thank you, Olivier. Good morning, everyone. Duncan Burns for the record. So as Olivier mentioned, we had a informal lunch in London a couple of months ago with a selection of UK-based community members. And it, sort of informal, just trying to look at, okay, it's our 50th meeting, we've got a lot of opportunities, there's a lot of interest in internet governance issues, new GTLDs, they'll start to have been in the route by then. How do we make the most of the fact that we're going to be meeting, we're going to have thousands of people, well, 1 to 2,000. What should we be thinking about doing in advance and during the meeting to have the most impact, build awareness of ICANN, our mission, what we're trying to achieve, bring people into the broader community and build some awareness. We have a follow-up session in mid-December, which Olivia is also coming to start to think through, okay, we had a lot of suggestions, which do we think are feasible, which do we have resources for, what do we think is going to work. Some of it's as prosaic as, okay, we have X amount of meeting space, what can we really do physically on site? You know, you see how all the meeting rooms here are always taken all the time. But how do we build broader awareness? I think also part of this is Atlas. You know, you have your second session that I think is happening beforehand, how we can partner together. I think I heard on just now, and also when we were in over the weekend, that you have a working group. You know, I would like to partner with you on whatever ideas and suggestions you have to help you achieve your objectives. And so if you have any thoughts, recommendations, happy to discuss now, answer questions, think about the various channels we have open for to raise awareness and discussion and engagement around this.
Thank you, Durkan. Is there any comments about that? Any ideas? Please.
Yeah, this is Siva Subramaniam from ISOC India, Chennai at large. As Olivier said, it's the 50th year of ICANN, and that's a major showcase event with at large worldwide happening. So now we have a good communications department in ICANN. So this time, as far as the display part of the showcase event is concerned, we usually have displays, small displays in the showcase room during the showcase hours. Instead, can we move the display of at-large activities and the presentations of at-large to the main corridors and have life-size professional displays which are open throughout the ICANN meeting, so that every visitor of ICANN gets exposed to what at-large has been doing? And I suggest that these professional displays are very professionally designed and taking probably some help from advertising agencies, and that would give a very good impression about at large. Thank you.
Anyone else? This is a time that you can, you know, we want to hear ideas about what public relations, things you wanted to do when we are there, so please, you know, this, we just want to hear ideas here. That's what we have, Duncan, right? Okay. Oh, Fatima, please.
Thank you, Eduardo. Fatima Tasecila, Chair of AFRALO. I would like to thank Olivier for initiating this thinking about making a link within the summit and what's going on right now within the ICANN system. And I think it would be a good opportunity for us to prepare our ILSs about thinking what we think should be a model we would like to carry on. Just to provide an input to this working group being set up. If you are not part of it, at least we will be able to provide some input about it. And I think also, as a community, we might be able to have a submit agenda, a session about this new issue, because I think it's just being thought of, just being, I mean, the discussion has just started, and we need to be able to provide our own inputs inside. Bye.
Please.
Rafa Tani for the record. The fact that we will be based in London, I think we should have a little bit more than usual outreach to the media agencies and the usual PR output. But we should maybe have further outreach to the technical community, and I mean that in the media sense. So we have the Telegraph, the whatever, that has a bigger outreach than the region, because it has a global audience. And the fact that they're in London, I think we should take an opportunity to actively engage them, not just at the ICANN meeting as a whole, but in the Atlas Summit, and just to make sure that they're given a space to really report on what we do within the at-large, through our structures and how we reach up. And that's one way of showcasing the bottom-up approach of ICANN. And I think it really is a fantastic opportunity that we are in London to be able to do that. And I think they maybe wouldn't have necessarily come out to different locations, but the fact that we are there, I think we should take full opportunity of that.
Yeah, sorry.
Duncan Burns. I think you make a great point. There's a big addressable market, as it were, in London of people who should have an interest in the in these issues, who we need to find a way to reach in the right way. And that some of that will be through media relations, a lot of that will be building awareness with some of the already formed groups that are there. And I think that's where we'd very much look to work with you and your local area, at large structures to see what are the opportunities for partnership, what content could we co-create together that might be helpful to explain, you know, what Atlas is, what ICANN is, what the opportunities to get involved are, and then take it a little further, because if we're really trying to get them to do something, you know, why it matters, what the opportunity is, you know, you know, the hope is by that point, you know, everything being willing, we'll have this more accessible website. It'll be a little easier for people to understand what we're about, what we're doing. You know, some of the, to Fatima's question, some of the IG issues will have, you know, it will be post-Brazil summit, will be post, obviously, Singapore. There'll be some element of new areas for conversation and discussion. And it's also just a very big media market, which is very helpful.
Thank you, Salah.
Thank you. Thank you, Eduardo. Salnieta Tamanikamura for the transcripts. First of all, I'd like to commend the excellent work that the team is doing, Eduardo. I just want to throw in a couple of suggestions that the working group may wish to take on board, or feel free to discard them. I fully concur with what Rafiq had raised in extensively using diverse portals on the ground. I would add to that to say that we have opportunities. We shouldn't be limited by budget constraints when we're planning for the event. But if we can find ways to liaise and partner with vendors or providers, and I know many of them have additional budget mechanisms for this sort of thing because it makes them look good, particularly if you sell it to them from a point of view that the at-large base is a global base, you know, they use your products and that sort of thing, and get them to put, you know, I won't name any vendor, I'll be vendor neutral, and I don't work for any vendor, but to put up like, you know, like big platinum TV screens, you know, that can be simultaneously put, and you can have different ALSs being featured, you know, and that sort of thing. And that's, if you've been to Broadband Communication Asia, which is an event, a massive event that the global vendors come to, and even the ICT community, it happens every year, twice a year in Singapore. And I know the Americans, you have your own similar shows in the US. You'll know that it's a dynamic, it's like a dynamic context where you see these kinds of things happening. And I think it's also an excellent opportunity to show off the ALSs and to celebrate the diversity of our at-large structures. And because this is one of the core units within ICANN, particularly in terms of global public interest. And yeah, so partner with the vendors and or even the registrars, if they're interested, you know, talk to people like Aphilius, whether they're interested in sponsoring and that sort of thing. Just thoughts. Thank you.
Don.
Just very quick. So I think in terms of partnerships, you know, as the meeting starts to come together, you know, I'm sure that'll be addressed. One thing I want to touch on is around video content. You know, hopefully you're seeing some of this. I'm working with the team. We're really trying to create more video content, more compelling imagery. And I think, you know, looking ahead, perhaps in Singapore, that might be an opportunity to get some of the different representatives who come to this meeting in Singapore and have them on video, capture them on video, because we'll have a crew there talking about, well, why people should be involved in Atlas. And not just in English. I mean, in however many languages we can. because then that's also something we can give back to you. You can then use locally to try and drive awareness and understanding. You know, I'm not totally up to speed on what the remote participation will be, but I think we were talking about it earlier. You know, if there is that opportunity to really get people, even if they physically can't be there, and that may help to some of what I think you were trying to achieve.
Garth?
Thank you. Garth Bruin, Chair Naralo. Building on what Raf said about utilizing the resources that are already in London and following up on a conversation I had with Saranoush this morning, can we make an effort to identify user groups in the London area who are blind, deaf, and disabled? Get them to the meeting. Get them to that meeting. Let's start talking about it now. It's one of the biggest metropolitan areas in the world. I'm sure it won't be hard to find them.
I think if there are ways to give content and outreach, I think that's an area where we would really want to work with you on that to help bring...
This isn't about content.
No,
it's about people.
Physically attending. We've got to give them a reason to attend. Just because we're having a meeting, they need to understand why they should come.
They should want to attend so they can figure out how to better use the internet as a blind person, as a deaf person, as a person with mobility issues. That's why they need to be there.
So we'll work with Olivier and see where we can help.
Okay, thank you. Rafid?
Rafatani for the transcript. With regards to what Garth said, the one thing that we should be able to, if we do expand in this area, that we need to make sure that what we have is accessible. And what I mean by that is not accessibility in terms of ramps. I mean, will we have a transcript? Will we have live transcription? Will we have transcribers? Will we have the live translations on the board so people that are deaf can see what's being said? And you know, that's one example of many, many. So that's something that should be considered if this is the route we go into.
Okay, I'm sorry. So this is a very important issue for ICANN as a whole, not necessarily for a summit itself. But so, you know, I think they have gotten the information. Fatimata, please.
Yes, Fatimata again. Thank you. I just wanted to add a point to what Garth and Rafik said about mobilizing local community. I think it would be very good if the RALU could have support to mobilize the community. We did that in Durban, but we had to do it by ourselves. We had to look for sponsors to bring more people, more local communities to participate to the meeting. And this time it would be great if we could have, as Gerb said, more local community come in and participate to the at-large summit.
Okay, thank you. I want to recognize Sally Carton, right? Casterton, I'm sorry, senior advisor to the president. If you want to jump in and tell some of your ideas too, thank you.
Okay, sorry, Sally Costerton for the record. Just wanted to apologize, I was late. I do apologize, slight mix up on the meeting rooms. I think it feels like we're mixing some different things together here, which is fine, but I just want to make sure we keep them in their right places. So issues about bringing people to the meeting and the funding to do that and the availability of transcription, scribing, and so forth, my understanding and is that the working group of the meeting is addressing those issues. And I'm looking at Heidi and hoping she's going to nod. So I am assuming, it is an assumption, so it needs to be checked, that those are issues that are already on the agenda of the working group and they've been factored in to the budget, which was put together quite a long time ago, signed off by the board, and so forth. So it sounds that we need to double check that everybody's expectations in this group are the same about what is in fact going to happen, but this is not, the communications team doesn't have this knowledge or this responsibility. What it does have is the responsibility to take the plan for the meeting that the group has developed and to make sure that we do everything we can, both ahead of the meeting, at the meeting, and after the meeting, to raise awareness of what is going on. And some of the things that you were talking about when I walked into the room about media engagement, for example, having them not just look at the ICANN meeting, but the summit, is a very good example. So I want to just try to be clear so that everybody's got good expectations about kind of who's doing what. Now, that process, by the way, should be very coordinated. So I'm not suggesting this is going to happen in silos, but just to be clear about that, I thought that might be helpful.
Thank you. Anybody wants to comment on that? So, Darlene?
Actually, and I realize that this is outside of the summit, so it's not something that Sally was just mentioning that we were budgeting for and all that, but it's to go back to what Garth was saying about accessibility to people with disabilities that should be looked at every single ICANN meeting. I'm thinking of Costa Rica right now. That I don't know if you all remember how long that building was. You couldn't get up to the rooms without use of stairs. You couldn't get up to some of the meeting rooms without use of stairs, so it was completely wheelchair unfriendly. So we have to watch that sort of thing again in the future so that we're not making it impossible for those with disabilities to actually come to our meetings.
Sally? Yeah, Sally?
Yes, that is a very specific issue. It's a very important issue. And when I was here earlier in the week with the regional vice presidents, I don't know if everyone was in the meeting, just for clarity, we had a great discussion in this room with this group about this precise issue. And the action that we took out of the meeting, we being the ICANN stakeholder engagement team, was to set up or to facilitate the setting up of, better word, a discussion group from the wider community, so not just ALAC, but the wider community, on this topic about accessibility issues for disability, for different kinds of groups at ICANN meetings, whether they're in person or whether they're remotely, that this is something that we definitely need to take a look at. So we have that action. And I want to reassure you that actually, so even since we met a few days ago, I can't remember when it was, the team has already started to coalesce. And I've asked Christopher Mondini to lead that process from the staff side, who is our North America engagement head. So if anybody who was not part of that discussion and would like to contribute to that discussion, please do let Christopher know that you would like to participate in that. And we will start that process moving.
Thank you. I just want to point out that there is a specific group that for the summit that was put together for public relations. It will be the group that basically will work together. And you can look at the wiki page. Oliver and myself are there. Humberto Carrasco from Latin America. Maybe Jose, you know Humberto. Victor, I'm sorry if I pronounce these names incorrectly, but Victor Nonan. Pastor Peter Ormagon, Baldwin Schwamp, Arumbam Agrawal, Evan Leibovich, Wolfgang Kienkwasher. I'm sorry.
The new board member.
I guess he signed up for this before that, right? Juan Manuel Rojas and Gart, you too. So, and I welcome, you know, I want to invite you, anybody interested in helping in this outreach, in this public relations effort, which is going to be big, to come and be join this group, because there will be a lot of ideas flying, and the more ideas that we have, the better this is going to be. Thank you. Dermot.
Duncan Burns. Perhaps we can set up a regular engagement with that committee and my comms team as we start to plan for London. And welcome how regularly you'd like to make that and how you'd like to do that. And perhaps we could have a working session in Singapore physically when we're there, because we'll be so close to London. You know, that'll be the starting gun, as it were.
So we're going to have an action item for that. And it's to, you know, can you rephrase it, please?
For you.
Well, you know, I'm trying to rephrase it in Spanish.
Je suis en train.
It's your English.
Okay.
But, okay. Duncan, okay.
To set up a ICANN staff and PR working group for the Atlas Summit for the London meeting, please.
That was simple.
Okay. So I guess we will talk to your group before Singapore, but for before that. And please, whatever idea comes to your mind, bring it on. And if it's good, it's good. If it's not good, then we don't, we do it later. Or we don't do it ever. But this is an opportunity for all of us. And these are the groups and things that you should be involved with that will make a difference as how this summit is going, how successful or more successful this summit is going to be. Please.
Yeah, Siva Subramaniam from ISOC India Chennai at large again. Garth was talking about reaching out to disability groups, and as an extension, he is very well connected to the consumer groups, and why don't he also focus on getting the consumer groups from Europe to take part and get exposed to the internet issues. And so this is something that you could really work through your network and get as many as 20-25 groups participate, and they would participate without funding from ICANN, and so that would give an all new user dimension to our engagements. So think about that.
Think about taking more work. Thank you, Shiva.
Any other comments, please? I haven't heard anything from this side over there or here. Do you have any ideas of, on how we can improve public relations, what things you would like to see? I was going to talk about the video, which is, I think, is a great idea. Have people talk about what their expectations are for the summit and why they got involved with ICANN, what they can recommend to motivate other people to get involved with the ICANN. Yes, Tadish.
Raf Fatani for the record. Could we hear from the communications team actually what they had in mind? I know this is part of what we're presenting, but maybe what they had in mind, and we can build on that. So if they come up with something, we can say, yeah, maybe that will work, maybe that won't work, and we can work together on that.
Duncan Burns. Part of this, we're still in the planning phase, which is why we're having this these two London informal lunches, try and get a sense of what's needed. I think in particular for Atlas, we have the channels. What I'd need to do is really work with you on what your objectives are for the summit, who you're trying to reach, what you want to achieve, and then we can start to build out a plan. And so I think perhaps I can reserve that input until we've had a chance to talk sort of with the working group, but happy to come back to you with some specifics.
So I have another action item. Well, Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Eduardo. I was just going to suggest, actually, with Rafid spending some considerable amount of time in London as well, maybe we could include him in the group working on these issues, because I think you would be doing well also in that working group on the PR for... because I'm not always in London, so thank you.
So can we add Rafid into the group and to the mailing list, please? I have an action item for the PR working group for the Atlas, and it is that this group should come together and think, what we want to achieve with the summit, and put some ideas and do some brainstorming and come up with specific things that we want to achieve, and then we come to you and say, well, how do we do this? Is this a good idea? How does this fit with the overall thing? And then we go from there. Okay, so the action item is for the public relations group to do a little bit of brainstorming to come up with ideas of what we want to achieve with the summit, and with the purpose of going back and then have a joint working group with staff to move forward on this PR. Rafid.
Raf Fatani for the transcript. Do we have a set of or a list of things that we were looking for in the first Atlas Summit? And then we can build on that if there is something that is already concrete available from the first summit. So let's not start from scratch.
Yeah,
Wolf, I might be calling upon you. It's Olivier speaking. You were in the first Atlas One prep group. Do you remember if there was any specifics on public relations and on this subject? And I'm sorry, I know it wasn't your field specifically, but I think you might be the only one from the first batch of people, well, preparation for Atlas One.
Thanks, Olivier, for asking me. Wolf Ludwig for the records. Good point. Let's say it was not a priority at the time. We were rather modest, as everybody knows, or everybody who has been involved at the time at large. We were still at the CAT table. We were not taken serious by ICANN. So we were just a bunch of user representatives at the far end of the system or of the bench, and we are fighting by means of the first at large summit for recognition. So our ideas regarding public relation were not very developed, to put it that way. We were mostly concentrated on two aspects. One is the programming. I was chairing the content working group, and then with Evan, who was in charge of logistics with staff. These were our two key priorities. And of course, we were asking Nick Ashton Hart, who was at large director at the time, what could be done internally via ICANN channels to do some kind of promotion on the upcoming summit. And there were some infos circulated internally. Heidi can for sure say much more about it. But beyond this, there was not much communication to the outside world. I remember there was an article in Heise online, which was more or less facilitated by myself because I knew Monica, the editor in charge, quite well, but besides this, was not much. And for us, Mexico City, I knew the media landscape in Europe very well. I think I can be helpful for London. We are working with a PR agency in London for Eurodic, etc. So we have detailed information. But at the time, in 2008, in 2009, Mexico, for me, I was not really familiar, and I would have been really over-demanded to advise on what could have been done on PR, etc. for Summit One. Thanks.
Rafa Tani for the record. Going just back to you, Wolf, so what was the objective of the program then? So if there wasn't a PR objective of the whole summit, what was the objective of the program? I mean, what was the aim? Why was it established? Then we can build on that then.
Just to say it again, it was a key priority to convince ICANN, to convince the board, that we are not only a bunch of useless bastards, but we are some...
I think that's a good goal.
Right?
I'm right
at that. But we have professional people in our ranks, etc., and we may be useful for advice, for policy development, etc. And this was our... And finally, at the end of Atlas One, we edited a memorandum, more or less with the key conclusions from the first summit, what was, to my memory, a document of 60 pages, edited by Evan and by Carlton. And we handed over this, the last date when the summit was concluded, etc., to Paul Tooney at the time, and I think Peter Dengit. And this was the first... Well, they realized they didn't waste the money they spent on Atlas One. There was an outcome, And afterwards, as one of the first political consequences, we got our first voting board director with a decision taken in August 2009, etc., when afterwards seat 15. So there was a consequence.
Okay, Rafatani again for the was there an outreach reason behind it as well? Is part of the purpose then to say let's create more ALSs, or is it just completely to prove yourselves, to prove ourselves within the board to have another seat, or was it going out? Or are we going in? I'm a bit confused.
There was an outreach expectation and dimension as well, but I would say compared to the one I mentioned before, it was secondary.
Thank you, Glenn.
Glenn, for the record, Wolf, what was the term you used again? Useless bastards? Is that what you used? I think what Duncan and Sally are asking this committee, because they're dealing with community engagement, is how are we selling this? What's the spin? What's the sizzle? What's the steak? I think we've been dwelling on some of the mechanics and stuff, and we need to get back to the basics here to engage people with an exciting, fantastic conference, and your life will be better, sex will be better, you won't be called a bastard, right, Wolf? So I think we need to sit back and think of what are we selling? What's the name of this besides Summit? I'm part of IEEE, and we're doing a conference in Montreal. We were all engineers at our table, and they're again not coming up with a name of the event, or because you need the core concept, and then from that you start to have your subsections and you build momentum. You know, this needs to have some life breathed into it. So our PR stuff needs some work. We need to get down into not just dry material. The Lacnic presentation the other night on their awards was phenomenal. It was a great presentation. It was very inspirational. And I'm taking that back for our Internet Society of Canada to look as inspirational, look for Canadians that have some real contribution. So I think we need to think this through in terms of coming up with an integrated marketing spin machine. In my own foundation, we've cultivated relations with the media all the time to get media coming. So I think it's prevailing upon, I guess, Olivier and other people who have that journalistic connections with maybe journalistic interns to start taking it on as one of their intern projects at school and start helping, volunteering, getting involved, because that'll make a big difference.
I just wanted to say also that, you know, that's what we need to, this group, the PR group, has to get together and talk about this thing. You know, it's one of the issues that we want to make this enhance the enlarge, and that's part of the things that we want to use public relations as part, you know, as a result of the public relations. We should be clear about that, so in order we can work with them hand to hand. And this thing about public relations, you have public relations before the summit to bring it up, during the summit, and after the summit. We want to have to tell the public out there the results of this, how good it was. And the charter that we have put together for the Atlas, it considers that based on the experience from Atlas 1. And basically, all that we're doing at the end, there's a group that will put something together. We call it the return of investment group, about, you know, the things that happen, results, and what have you. And we want to make sure that people, you know, we did all this, and these are the results of the meeting. Sally, you want to say something?
Sally Costerton, I'm going to have to leave in a couple of minutes. So that firstly, I wanted to say that, so that if anybody has any other questions for me personally, I'm happy to take them in the next couple of minutes. Just wanted to, again, for clarification, just make sure we don't mix things up. So the summit itself, my understanding is that the PR process is not to attract people to come to the summit. They will be part of the ALS setup. So they will be invited. They will, come anyway. What is very important is that we promote why we do it, what it is, and also what is the role of such a group, of this the at-large group itself and the way it's structured in ICANN, to help expand the attention and understanding of the at-large group in the wider community, so that as a result of you having this conference, this event, there is a greater level of engagement for new participants to join the at-large structures, because they understand why they might want to do that, what might happen if they do it. So I would hope that when you're looking at the goals in this PR group, or for indeed for the program, it would be quite realistic, and Olivier and I discussed this a long time ago when we first talked about this program, it seemed quite logical to me that as a part of our engagement exercise at ICANN to increase our base, and to reach out to the edge of our network and bring people into the middle. This is a wonderful platform, a wonderful news hook in a city full of media to have that conversation, because it can be quite hard to explain easily to somebody quite new why they might want to be part of At Large. This is such a great opportunity to do that, and using PR techniques, if you will, to encourage that dialogue and to make sure, to your point, Eduardo, it's a very, very important point, that it's not just about publicity for the event itself. In fact, it's almost, it's not about that, but that wouldn't be one of my recommended priorities. You should see this as something much more strategic for At Large's overall goals to grow, and we will support you from the communications side as much as we possibly can to achieve those goals. I do hope that's helpful.
Thank you, Sally. Please.
Siva Subramaniam from ISOC India, Chennai at large. Sally, you're quite right, and your reaction comes from us not explaining what we did at Atlas One. I was at Atlas One, and the idea of building up At Large was peripheral. I wouldn't say that that was the focus. And what Atlas One, I would remember Atlas One for the five strategic initiatives that we undertook. One was on the future of ICANN. ICANN's accountability and transparency, and the other one was about the future of internet governance. I was part of one or two of those working groups, and these were significant efforts to contribute to the good of ICANN and to the good of internet governance. What happened was that, as Wolf was saying, we were not taken seriously, so they were not taken as direct substantial inputs into the ICANN process went up to the board, but instead, after Atlas, it became absorbed into different working groups, and we had other activities not directly attributing the origin of those topics to At Large, but those topics were discussed, and they became part of ICANN process, and so that way we made a very significant contribution. And then we also had panel discussions on some topics at Mexico. So what we could project, if we have to project, is the contribution that we make to strategy, the strategic contributions that we make, and I think that would be the focus of At Large 2 as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Sylvia, is your name?
It was just a general question. It wasn't a question particular to Sal. I was just wondering, Yulia Morenets, Gorilla Secretariat, as being a new face, do we have a kind of summary? And actually, Wolf answered my question partly. And there is this document, a memorandum from the Atlas One. But do we have a kind of summary, so to better understand what were the, you know, the way of the discussion, etc., in Atlas One, for me, it would be important as being, you know, like a newcomer to understand also the global view of this. Thank you. So if it can be, if you can circulate maybe in the list or... Thanks.
Thank you. We're getting close to the top of the hour. I think we have to adjourn the meeting very soon. Anyone wants to comment on anything else?
Ref, Fatani, for the record. Maybe it's worth looking at it from a very theological perspective and kind of saying what are the positives of being part of an
and that large structure and what are the negatives, and maybe that's one way to kind of hook and engage to the wider community, because unless there is that I think that's clear.
Thank you. I got
I'm Philip von der Fralun. I was trying to agree with Duncan's that the publicity aspect is not so much to attract people at the summit, but to create a further awareness on the role of the at-large within the ICANN structure. So I was thinking that even population should also be heard within the analysis, for example, television, the show talk, within their community. That is an extra part of the engagement with the analysis, all their members within that community. Should not only be probably at the global level, but also within the allies, within that community, they can have their own publicity with regards to the summit.
Okay. I think part of the responsibility of the RALOS is just to tell their communities what's going on, and to get engaged with the work. So yes, that's important.
Thank you, Yulia Morenz, your RALOS secretariat. We just discussed actually with Fatimata and what you said, and it was said before that it would be very important that to attract local community, to work with local community in UK, and obviously this is in Europe, so the role of your RALOS will be, well, it is important. But I think we also need to discuss altogether the kind of strategy to have for the better outreach of the local community. So once we agreed on this, we can, you know, have an action plan and to work together with the public relations department, with the staff, and etc., and be helpful. Because if we go in all directions, this will be useless from my point of view. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have to wrap up, and I just want to, try to condense what we have talked about. I think the conversation today with Duncan and Sally, I think it was very helpful, because in the sense that, you know, when you talk about public relations and what it means, it's everybody has probably a different thinking of what it is. Like, some people think it's publishing, some people think other ideas. And so and within that respect, it was very good that you were here and explained some of this. Also, you know, this group that we have put together for public relations, please, I invite any one of you to participate in that one if you are not already. And there we can talk about the specifics of what is what we're trying or what we want to do with the PR in terms of a group. So we are all clear. And then we can work hand in hand with Duncan and his group. So, you know, I have heard many ideas of, you know, reach and the summit agenda, showcases. These are the things that we have to talk within ourselves in this group, and then we can move forward. So what is going to happen, there will be a call sometime before the end of the year just to start this work going. The faster we can come out together with what we understand, what the PR is and the goals, then the faster we can get this PR thing going. So if nobody has no more comments, this meeting has been... Don't forget, there's another meeting here at 4 o'clock, and basically we want to go there about timelines and things very specific on how we can move these things forward, because there are many things now we have to, you know, jump in, and there's a lot of work, and I expect, we all expect, that all of us will help together, because the result of this summit is not because, you know, two or three of us are doing this, because it's a group work. And, you know, I expect everybody to jump in with, you know, your help. So thank you so much.
Just
one more.
Before that, Mr. Anush Vardanyan, for the record, I know that the survey subgroup already did a huge work for analyzing the survey. So we have already all analyzed answers. I think it should be a compiled file already. Can we share with the old subcommittees of this organizing committee for people to know what were requested by ALSs and what can we think ahead of us? So just to everybody to have idea, because only survey subgroup has that information, but we can share with all others to know, because the next step will be we should go from that already, what we have already. So the next step for others to know what was the first step from where we are playing now, it would worth to share with everyone.
I just wanted, Diana, if you want to add, but I just wanted to say that all this information about that was received is already in our wiki, is open to anybody to look at. Huh? One wiki page. Right there. So you can go there and look at it. I believe the work that needs to be done, that's why we have this information, how we translate this information into actions and events that will support the needs of the ALSs there. I think that's the part that we need to develop, and that's the part that I expect that we have something more concrete before the end of the year, and you know by the time that we're in Singapore, we've actually finalized the details. Diani, do you want to say something else? No, thank you. Oh, Fatimata, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Eduardo. Fatimata, again, for the record. Just to thank you and to commend you about the great work you're doing, but also to tell everybody here that we have an Afro-African joint meeting in this room at 2, and you're all invited. Please come. Please join us. Thank you.
Thank you. So with that in mind, meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for your time.